Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my God. I know you guys said, what the hell is going on? Miss V is not there. You guys, you're listening to Ask Miss V Sports, and all I could do is say, I'm sorry that we came on late. I've got James Acevedo with me, and this is what happens when you're in two different countries, I mean, two different states. Hey, sweetie.
Two different countries. Boy, what were you dreaming?
It's hot as hell, okay? That's all I can say.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I figured that's what you did. You always slept on your nappy.
So. Yeah. Well, it's hot here, so I guess the little nap up on it, you know, we got 30 minutes. I'm going to, we're going to try to extend this out, you guys. As a matter of fact, we are going to extend this out. So you guys ignore that.
Yeah. We just could have acted like the show just went forward around this time and just acted like nothing happened. So, yeah, well, you know, we just wanted to start it later.
Well, considering I went on and it's like, you got 24 minutes left. I'm like, what the?
Holy crap.
No alarms or nothing went off.
So did you set your alarms and it just didn't go off? Or you?
I set the alarms, nothing went off. But I think because it's hot here and I've been really tired. And, you know, let's jump into it. I think, and the Tigers pissed me off, you know, so I'm, you know, maybe I'm having fucking anti-Tiger stuff
going on.
That's
why you fell asleep, because the Tigers are boring.
No, they're fucking pissing me off. Yes, they fucking lost the damn game in 13 goddamn endings.
Oh, was that the block you're talking about?
And today...
Hello?
I can't even... You know what? I'm pretty sure they lost today. I really didn't know how much because... I turned away from it at the fucking fifth inning when they were down like 9-0 or something. I mean,
Holy shit.
They were getting their ass fucking kicked early, so, you know.
Who the hell was pitching this game?
I mean, they went into the fourth inning and it was like 7-0, so.
Yeah, they're on the road, right? Like I was saying, right? They're on the road.
No,
right?
They're back at home today.
They are? Wow. Some home.
I think, yeah, so they were away yesterday with the... The fucking damn Lions swept their ass. I don't even, you know, that's just fucking disgusting. So, huh?
I'm looking up to see what's going on with your Tigers. Let's see. Because I know something happened. If I'm not mistaken, it was your Tigers that lost the game by a bulk, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But I know the Indians won by a walk-off because of a bulk. But I could be wrong. I think they were facing the Tigers. I mean, the Rangers. Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's see. I see the Tigers... Let's see, meow. Let's see. Come on, you stupid phone. I swear to God, all this technology, it fucking takes forever to fucking load a fucking schedule. Jesus Christ. I want a goddamn schedule.
See, if my co-host would have fucking called me, I probably...
Oh, fuck that. I did.
You know
I
what?
Did. I tried calling you on Skype 10 million times. Look at the records.
Yeah. The damn Skype doesn't ring on my phone.
Well, I didn't know. I wouldn't have bothered. And plus, I don't got your actual personal number, so it's not like I call you.
I thought I sent it to you a while ago.
I remember.
Check your Skype messages.
I got to check my Skype messages. Well, that's a lot of messages. All right, I'm going to check back. What was it in March? Let me see.
It's in April. I think I gave it to you. But, you know, you guys
anyway.
Say, really, yeah, they're arguing about a phone number. What is this?
I would have been used that number. Okay, let's see here. May. Okay, today is, yeah, it was the Indians. Oh, yeah, so they did play the Indians yesterday. They lost 6-2. Boy, they lost 6-2 to the fucking Indians. Oh, so it was Tuesday. It was Monday with the walk-off loss, you know, with the balk. And then they lost Tuesday 6-2. And today they lost 11-10. Some shit like that. And today they lost they lost 9-2. My God, yeah, they've been on a fucking losing streak, yo. Four-game losing streak.
Yeah, so maybe I was just trying to sleep it away.
Try to forget about it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
let me see who's,
not,
go ahead.
Not that I've gotten pissed about that, I have to talk about my baby, California Chrome.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. Oh, okay, never mind.
You know, you know, the debate this week has been over if they were going to let him run in the Belmont. And now the rumblings are that New York is allowing him to use these nail strips because they don't want to lose no money. So, but I'm like, come on now. You know, apparently what he's been using, these nasal strips, have not been illegal in no other state. And because New York came on and said, hey, we're going to allow him to use them, to me, the way I look at it is that, first of all, the statement I read on why they're allowing him to use them is because they, whomever governs the board, said that it has been proven that the nasal strips do not give the horses any type of advantage over one or another.
Okay.
And I'm like, and again, you know, come on now. It still was a long shot if he wins Belmont. I mean, it's been, what, 20-some-odd years or 19 years since a horse has won the Triple Crown?
I think it's longer than that. I think it's almost like 30 years.
Well,
like,
you know, but either way, you know, the whole thing is, you know, New York ain't stupid. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
No state is stupid. I mean, when you're talking about bringing that type of revenue in, and they clearly said they knew that it wasn't legal in New York and that it was a question if they were going to allow him to run. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think that as a racing fan, I think it was a good decision, you know, because that is a lot of money that the state would be losing. And I know this is not about money for the state, but at the end of the day, it's a business.
Oh, of course.
And if you're talking about losing money because you have a rule, we're not talking about shooting the dog on horse up with steroids, because in horse racing, steroids are illegal just like they are in any other sports.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a strip that has no medication or anything open that apparently just opens up the nasal passage, you know, a little bit more. Well, hell, if this horse is still kicking ass, you know, if this doesn't give them an advantage, but the owners feel that this does, then it's just like when, you know, those barefoot gym shoes that people run in. A lot of people feel that they give the runners an advantage because they are supposed to be closer to the ground. But I've tried them on, and I didn't like the way they felt. You know, it almost felt like to me like your feet were a little bit spread apart.
Really?
You know, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
by the way,
I didn't see advantage. Yes.
Yeah, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you. I just looked it up. It's been 36 years since the last horse won a Triple Crown. A horse named Affirmed in 1978.
Yes, the Affirm.
And I'm looking up the odds for this horse, you know, California Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see what the odds are. Okay. California. The jockey's name is Victor, if anybody gives a crap. Victor Espinoza. Trainer is Art Sherman. I feel like, you know, when they do the boxing, you know, the trainer of the guys.
Yeah, but the trainer of a horse, especially with this horse, this is one of, he's the oldest trainer. They only paid 10 G's for this horse in total. I think they paid $2,000 for the mother and $6,000 to mate her. So you're talking about 10 G's for a horse that people pay millions. You know, people pay millions of dollars to get a horse that
crazy
wins the Derby, and, you know, for a horse, even a third of his caliber, and don't even get their money out of it. You know, so to pay 10 G's, his trainer is not a new trainer. His trainer is one of the oldest trainers out there. He's the he's the first-time Derby winner. His jockey is one of the best out there. He comes from a big jockey family, so, you know, it's not like he's got an inexperienced jockey.
Mm.
And, you know, when you look at his pedigree and where he's coming from, he's a long shot as far as where he, as far as his breeding. But right now, he's a moneymaker. Do you know this motherfucker is going to be a stud until he passes away? He's going to horsey farm heaven. I mean, he's going to live the life of luxury for horses, because all he's going to do is fuck and get paid, fuck and get paid. I mean, you men would love this. I mean, think about it. Once Belmont is over, he might run another year or so, but once that's over, his stud fees are going to be some of the highest fucking stud fees in the country, because his name is California Chrome. And it doesn't matter if his mares and foals produce anything. The fact that, you know, they're going to be mating, and all he's going to do. Have you ever seen how they mate horses?
No.
It's only a one-time shot, you know. So you have to.
It's done unofficially, right? I know they take it from the male horse somehow, right?
No, they take them in there. They actually made them. It's a one hit. It's a one time, because once he comes, it ain't no. Well, you know how dogs, you see them and they all get stuck together and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then that will happen with a horse, but I mean, literally, you're bringing the stud in to a female horse. She has to be in heat, just like a dog does, and you're literally leading him to her, and once he mounts her, that's it. Once he mounts, he's going at it at 4 or 5 minutes. He's releasing, and it's like, boom, the odds that they can see is pretty good. I mean, it's not like the courting and the wine and the cheese and the let me get to know you, because now if that mare turns around and doesn't like him, they're still paying that stud fee. And, I mean, that's nothing. You take a risk that a mare will not like who they're studying her with, because you will have a mare that will go, that will, you know, snap at. So I guess this tells you guys I know horse racing pretty well.
I didn't really, that's for sure.
I grew up around horses, so.
Wow. I wonder because they always stand on their fours, so how the hell the male horse mounts the, is it doggy? How do they do it?
It's doggy style.
Okay, it's doggy style. Or horsey style in this case.
Yeah, horsey style.
Okay.
But,
Thank you, Wilbur.
And I mean, literally, when you see, that's all I could do. You know, I put it like this. I have watched documentaries on how they made them and everything, and I've asked people, too, because I was really curious. But when you talk about them stuffies, that's some money out there.
Yeah.
And boxing. I got my notes down. I was all ready for the night. Damn. Fucking damn, Tigers. Piss me off. You know.
Somebody, the fighters, you just said?
No, you know, them pussies. I mean, right now, I can't. Damn, Tigers.
Oh, Tigers. You mean the pussycats. Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Meow, you know.
Yeah. They still like in first place. I mean, that division, that's theirs, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? It just.
Nobody going to compete for that against them. The Indians suck this year. You know,
they didn't suck too bad. They fucked
up. Yeah, right. Good point.
When was the last time you heard of a damn Indian beating a goddamn tiger? Oh, yeah, a couple of days ago. Shit.
Yeah, sweep.
That's the day.
Let me see something. AL Central standings.
And they're talking about it's theirs to lose. I mean, well, they fucking doing a damn good job of losing it.
Lord. And they're up 4.5 games on the Twins. They're 27-16, the Tigers now. And the Twins are 23-21. The Twins have been playing much better. I know
well, you know
up,
what?
You know.
Whatever this little slump is, if what is it, that bitch named Kate Upton, do they need to go find her and bring her back? Because it seemed Verlander had one of the shittiest fucking starts that he's had.
How bad was
you
it?
Know, I think Verlander pitched yesterday, and I think he let – no, it wasn't Verlander who pitched yesterday. It was whatchamacallit pitched yesterday. Either way,
oh,
they all have
– Scherzer?
Yeah. They're all having fucking shitty – you know, between yesterday
Scherzer
and shitty starts.
Back to down to earth again.
No, so
– he was unbelievable over a year. For over a year, mm-hmm. he pitched lights out.
Well, right now, you know, I don't know who's screwing who or who's getting whose dick sucked, but, you know, bitch, wherever you at, it ain't doing what y'all supposed to.
Do your job.
You know, find you a fucking plane ticket, come off your damn little model set, you know, whomever you are,
mm-hmm.
you know. If fucking Sports Illustrated is the reason why you motherfuckers quit doing what y'all doing, let the bitch come back. That's for Kay Upton. If it's whomever the wives are, you know, whatever they did, they're fucking sorry. Come back, kiss them, hug them, fuck them, and let's get that game back in right in order. Because if not, you're going to be fucking like Prince Fielder's ex-wife. You know, he lost that fucking damn big-ass contract. Now he's fucking out getting ready to be out for the rest of the goddamn season with the Rangers.
Oh,
so,
really? What happened with Prince Fielder? I didn't know about this.
You didn't see? Oh, he, for one, he didn't come to Detroit, you know. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played since Saturday, and it looks like he's contemplating having a season-ending surgery because he's got a herniated disc. And they gave him some type of shot that did not kick in. That's why he didn't come to Detroit, and he's contemplating having season-ending surgery right now. So you could always be his ex-wife who, it's amazing, he gets the fucking biggest contract in Detroit. His first year he plays and, you know, second year he plays like shit. You file for fucking divorce, which I knew your ass wasn't coming here in the first damn place. We get out of paying all that money in the trade that we made last year. And you know what? You're a rich bitch still in Florida. He's a half-ass rich ass in Texas or wherever, and it looks like we got the better deal because he's not going to be out for the rest of the season. And, you know, I guess the only thing she's sorry about is that she didn't stay with him a little bit longer, at least a longer into that damn contract, so she could have got more money in divorce. I'm going to hear all about that shit. Now, I know they're going to say, did you just put all these folks' business out there? No, it was all out in the fucking news. I'm just giving a spin on why y'all got a divorce and didn't last after. You know, it's just really amazing that, you know, you find out after the Tigers released him last year that he was going through a divorce, you know, which means that. But you could tell that he was playing shitty for a reason. His first year, you know, he had his son,
in
his arms. And, you know, next thing you know, you find out after they release him that he's going through a divorce and this is why he's been going through all this. But,
makes sense.
You know, that's what happened when you motherfuckers don't live where you fucking play. That goes back to my theory that when you look at it, she filed for a divorce in Florida. She never fucking moved to Detroit. Therefore, her and her children never came here, and he was a back-and-forth dad, and I'm sorry, a fucking part-time dad. I don't care how much money you make, it's not a real dad.
True.
You know, even though, you know, unless you have a wife, and I mean a spouse, that really, really understands the traveling and has dedicated themselves to being, you know, be that ride or die. It's hard being ride
exactly.
or die when a person travels. I don't care what profession you have.
Oh, yeah. Well, military, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's hard.
When a person travels.
Mm-hmm.
And when the spouses don't come together to say, hey, we're a unit. We're an entire family. There was some type of breakdown before he signed that contract. I'm willing to bet money because there's no way you're going to tell me a year into it, all of a sudden she wants a divorce. There was some type of marital breakdown, and he thought that that big-ass contract was going to keep that bitch. It's obvious it didn't.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised she didn't get pregnant again, you know, to make
yep.
it even more juicy. But
yeah.
they've got two children.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Just like the Beatles say, money can't buy you love.
Well, you know what? Yeah, but
not this time, anyway.
You know, I have my own theory. I'm...
I love your theories.
I'm gonna sound prejudiced as hell when I say this, and you guys can take this the way you want it, but you know what? This goes back to the analogy, and this is what a lot of comedians say, and it kind of turns out to be reality. Look at a black man who plays sports.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at who they ultimately marry or date.
A white woman.
And it's just amazing that, now for rappers, you know, if you, and I'm going to be honest, and when you look at the music industry, for whatever reason, women who are with men in the music industry are ride or die, and you hear, hey, I've been with her since I've been 19. You don't hear about too many fucking people in the music industry. I don't care if it's a rapper, soul singer, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving their spouse or girlfriend or whatever for a white woman.
No, not really. But that's a good point. I can't think of one. That's true.
You look at basketball players, football players, baseball players.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at the, when you look at sports in general, for whatever reason, when black men or Hispanic men, and I'm going to say black men more so,
that's
start
true.
Making six fucking figures, well, really seven fucking figures. It ain't too many sisters fucking around, you know, and it's sad to say, but I'm sorry, but if you look at the divorce rate, it's pretty much higher in sports in all actuality.
Mm-hmm.
In the music industry, there's still divorces, but when you look at it, divorce industry women are fucking ride or die bitches, because they know what it's like to fucking be on welfare. They know what it's like to fucking be the breadwinner while they man is doing what they do, you know. And this motherfucker, when he getting his money, he ain't leaving her. Now, he might be fucking a few bitches on the side, but he's not leaving his woman in the music industry for whatever reason. These damn athletes either never get with a black woman, or when they get to a certain level, they feel that there's no black woman that can be on that level with them. Grant you, we're not talking about them fucking marrying fucking millionaire white women. We're talking about them marrying common white women. Some of them are pretty, so let's get this clear. I'm not talking about looks. I'm just talking about, you know, they're not marrying into, they're not marrying on their economic level when they're marrying these women.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
true.
These women are of the same economic level of a black woman or a Hispanic woman.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see them for whatever reason. And mm-hmm. some athletes, I know why they do it, you know, because I'll give you an example. Dennis Rodman, I don't care how much fucking money that motherfucker get. I would never fuck him with, I wouldn't fuck him with your dick. You know, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't fuck him with nobody's pussy, because that's just, money can't buy you fucking good looks. So in his case, I know why he was with a white woman. I also know why she fucked 2/3 of the fucking Pistons. You know, if you had to sleep with that, you might go fuck somebody else also.
Yeah,
but a lot of these pro athletes are not ugly. You know, they're pretty decent young guys. But at the end of the day, they feel that they don't want to be with a black woman, and then they wonder why they call us bitter black women. It's not because we're bitter, but, you know, you get married to a woman, she divorces your ass, and you're fucking doing the damn Eddie Murphy look, talking about, I ain't got no fucking money.
Because
she done took more than half. Tiger Woods couldn't keep his dick in his pants. All he do is fuck white women. In his case, he's not fully black. I mean, he's black mixed with Korean. But still, Eden Nordegren is fucking living large now. But his, my understanding, his daddy was a hoe also. So like father, like son.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, he didn't know, you know, his economic background. He was raised a certain way. But he is probably the exception out of all these pro athletes. Most of these pro athletes come from little none. Prince Fielder, he already had money. I don't know what color his mother is, but I remember his dad. And his dad is darker than him, you know, and I'm going to make an assumption that his mother is black.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he get there, you know, his wife, ex-wife, not a bad-looking woman, but I'm sure there was plenty of sisters out there who would have been just as happy with him that he would have been able to deal with. Because it ain't like this bitch had money before she met Prince Fielder. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's true. is either they always go for the white trophy wife, or if they get a black woman, it's a very light-skinned, Milano-looking black woman. It's never a dark-skinned, very rare. You know, it's never, you know, a dark white, a dark black woman, or even chocolate, you know.
No, no. You know, and the sad part is that black women, you know, we are really ride or die bitches. We, you know.
Yeah, you do. But I love
and
y'all.
we tolerate a lot of shit.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You know, people don't understand. We are some of the most resilient and strongest women out there because, you know, we are the ones who, you know, we talk a lot of shit. You know, if my man fuck around, I'm going to, you know, fuck him. I'm going to kick him to the curb. But at the end of the day, if you got a good man, oh, he hears it about fucking around. Let's get it clear. We're not co-signing fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
But if he a good man, he might get a little slack, but he might have fucking blue balls also. But he knows, you know. Let's get that clear.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, but we're ride or die because we're not with guys for their money. We're with guys because we love them.
Yeah, look
fuck
at me.
Us fuck
proof.
Us over, we will fuck you up.
I'm living proof of that.
You know, we don't walk into a situation, you know, saying, let me see your credit report. And I have gotten to the point, do I kind of want to know credit scores, but, you know.
Let me look it up, creditreport.com. I'm saying this motherfucker's like, oh, okay, got some shit fucked up, all right. I don't know about this motherfucker. If his shit's fucked up, that means his life is fucked up.
Yeah, you know, but I'm one of those who I'm still, you know, when I tell people that, you know, even when you talk about, you don't see us saying, I ain't going to talk to you, know. And those girls who are with, those black women who are with pro athletes, if you look at who they end up with, a lot of them have been with these chicks. Now, the ones who get with a black woman, if her ass don't go to college, and he does, because, you know, a lot of these pro athletes, especially the football and basketball players, if the girl doesn't go to college and doesn't have something going on, that's where she normally gets kicked to the curb because, well, you know, you're going to be a millionaire, and, you know, she only got pregnant for this reason, you know. I tell everybody that ain't necessarily true because I know guys that I grew up with and – a couple of the guys I grew up with, one in particular here in Detroit, he is a millionaire. You know, he's very prominent here. I won't say his name, but we went to school together. And I can tell you that we're cool, but just like I wouldn't fuck him in high school, I wouldn't fuck him now. You know, he's not my type. I mean, do I get kind of jelly when I look up and I see a damn commercial on TV about him? I'll be like, damn.
Ooh.
But then, you know, at the end of the day, I don't get mad about it because he's just not my type. And then I know his personality. You know, he's a nice guy. He's just someone I would never date. And when we go to class reunions and stuff and I see him, I'll be like, hey, what's going on? You know, actually, I'm hoping that the young lady he's with today, actually, he'll finally break down and marry her because, I mean, I get the word on the street and, you know, we've seen pictures of this woman and, you know, some of us have chimed in and asked, how the hell is she with you? And, you know, there's no hate out there, you know, and that's the difference, you know, there's no hate out there, you know, we're like, you know, not saying, I mean, this bitch is gorgeous,
really?
But I wouldn't be with him, not because I don't like him, I wouldn't be with him just because he's not my type. I mean, you know, as they say, you look and say, you know, wow, look how much money he's making. Yeah, I know how much he's making, but, you know, at the end of the day, I got a little hood in me, so I got to have a little that I got to have a little thug in me. I got to have a little thug in my life. So he wasn't hoodish enough for me. And I tell her, I know y'all say, so you got to have a rough neck. I ain't got to have a rough neck, but see, I got to have a man who make the money. But when you look at him, he don't look like he got no fucking sense. I got to have a motherfucker who you say, he ain't seen a fucking college campus, let alone know what one look like. You know? You know, and they find out, damn, you know, he really has been to college, you know.
Yeah, right.
Might not have a college degree, but he's been there, and he ain't just go to visit, you know, did do a year or so. But, you know, but when you look at, like, damn, does he know what a suit look like, you know? That's me. You know, I got to have a motherfucker that you be like, do he know what a suit look like?
Yeah, right. Please get back to me on that.
You know, then as they say, he cleaned up well, you know.
He meant the clean up woman. Nah, just kidding.
So that's me. So when I say that we'll ride or die for who we would, you know,
true.
I'm sure a lot of these guys who I went to high school with, because I went to college after the fact. When I graduated from college years after my classmates graduated from college. You know, so, well, you know, I did that damn alternative route. I graduated. I went to work. I'm a truly blue-collar bitch. I went to work for a year and a half. Then I went to the military. After I did the military, I got out. I was homemaker extraordinaire. Really, I was. I got out and wow. I was a stay-at-home wife.
Cool.
And mother. And I got a divorce. So when I started college, the majority of the people I went to school with were at the tail end of school or graduated.
Yeah.
And were working on their master's when I started on my bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these people now, when they look at me, even though I got my bachelor's way after a lot of them got their bachelor's, you know, I've had them saying, damn, didn't I go to school with you? You know, I'm more attractive now. I'm so much more fucking attractive. You know, because motherfuckers be like, and you make how much money? Be like, step back. I've always been at this economic level. I just took
them. Ain't nothing changed.
I mean, but that's true. I mean, but my economic level, actually, I went down and came back up, you know. So, but if you look at it, I didn't date athletes. I didn't marry an athlete. You know, I married what you call a common guy. You know, even now, even though I'm with someone in the music industry, you know, we still live our common lives where these fucking pro players, they leave, they go to college, you get a damn couple of white girls that can suck a dick through a damn garden hose. And,
give me the number, please.
You know, and next thing you know, this is the love of my life and I'm going to marry her. I mean, even Michael Sands, come on now. His kids, it wasn't a brother. It was a white. Come on now. So he became. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
Even the gay people.
Yeah.
Color was a factor. I'm sure they're saying that color wasn't, but you know, the kiss wasn't with a black dude. His man is white. And he's fucking drafted to the damn NFL. So there's got to be something to my fucking theory here.
Yeah, it's actual. It's a fact. It's not really racist. It just was out there. It's put out there. So you know, you can tell by your own eyes. Your eyes are telling the facts. You know, for what you're seeing. So I totally agree with that. You know, like I said before, that's honestly true. You know, and that's why you know mostly black women are fed up and say, "Fuck it, we're gonna go with a Spanish guy," or we're gonna go with a white guy that takes care of us.
But see, the whole thing, once men get with us, and I mean, let me keep it real, we got some hood ass bitches out there, you know.
No doubt.
But those of us who, let's say now we're all the fucking working poor, but you know, the middle class used to start at, you know, between 60,000 and 250,000.
Yeah.
And when you get a sister that's making that, you know, it used to be that you would sit there and you would see her with somebody. It wasn't uncommon to see a sister making that amount of money with a brother who made less than her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because brothers have become gold diggers, you know, I say it honestly. No, I'm saying it honestly. Now you see the black women who are out there, you know, saying, hey, I'm not going to deal with you. But you still don't have us snubbing our noses. I mean, because at the end of the day, if we get a good man, we tell him, okay, you can't sit home because your dick ain't the golden dick, but we could work this out. But for whatever reason, when black guys get with white women, and I'm talking about those who go to college or whatever, how many of those women are actually working? I mean, once they go pro. Let's keep it real.
Not many.
And you figured that if they were with a black woman, there will be someone in the background. You know, that's why as much as they talk about whatchamacallit's wife, and they're on Love and Hip Hop, not Love and Hip Hop, basketball wise. But he's the basketball player, and his wife, I mean, that was known in the league for years that she traveled with him everywhere he went. She did not let him go from city to city. He's retired now, but it was known, you know, it was all over TV. It wasn't a behind-the-scenes thing. People knew, you know, you saw him at a game, his wife was there. She didn't play that shit. Wasn't no traveling without her. But she's black, and she's been there from, you know, boom, when they got married. My job is to fucking be there with you. Ain't no groupie bitch going to be sucking your dick. I'm not going to hear this. You know, and that's how they live their lives. And, you know, apparently he was okay with it because they got fucking two or three fucking grown-ass children.
Okay.
You know, and they're still together. But the Christies, last name is Christy.
Christy.
Played pro basketball. But
Doug Christie?
Yeah.
Oh, Doug Christie, you know, holy crap. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, his wife was known even before she got on reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
People knew who follow sports that she traveled. She didn't let him out her fucking sight when it came down to playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, but look how long they've been together. They're still together.
Yeah.
But out of it, you know, I've got a girlfriend who's married to a pro athlete, and they've been together, but he met her after the fact. I won't even say who it was, but me and her went through her together, and they're still together 20-plus years later.
That's
but
cool.
Now, there's an age difference in them also.
Oh, really?
It's an age difference. It's, God, almost 10 years. It's almost a 10 year
age.
It's
not that bad.
No, it's not a big age difference, but they have five children together.
Wow, five kids.
Yeah, I remember when a conversation that was had with me about that, I was told that she would have babies until she gave him a son. That's what he told me, not her.
Oh.
So,
yeah. Say what?
He made that very clear to me. Because like I said, y'all going to have another one? Y'all going to have another one? I quit fucking counting. I just started, like I said, I quit.
Yeah, I don't understand. why are you saying that?
But she even knew, I mean, conversations to me and her hand, like I said, one of the reasons I won't say it because me and her are still friends. And
sure, I understand.
Conversations we had while, you know, she said she knew people. She didn't say she knew he was out there messing around. But when they got married and I was going through my divorce, because they got married after I did, they're still together. I'm fucking divorced. But, you know, when they would come in town and stuff and I would go see them, I was like, you know what, why don't you hook me up with a pro player? She said, girl, she's like, you're my friend. She's like, I love you enough not to introduce you because they're hoes. And this is from my girlfriend.
Well, that's a
now,
good friend.
This is, you know, pre-internet. Well, you know what? I think she could at least hook me up with a fucking damn booty call. You know, I could have handled being, you know, the side piece. You know, I mean, I wasn't trying to move in. You know, I could, you know, had a motherfucker buy me a house or something. You know, I wasn't trying to have no kids by nobody already had. So, I mean, I've been adamant on that. I think that's probably why people strayed away from me. I ain't trying to push out no babies for nobody. Got my two.
Well, what would be, without naming names, would it be like a football player, basketball player, or a baseball player?
Basketball player.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I would say you would be smart either to pick a basketball player or a baseball player because they have guaranteed money. Football is not guaranteed money. It's only the signing bonus and whatever they get guaranteed.
I've dated my share of pro athletes, so I think that's another thing. I've dated pro athletes who are actually playing ball, and I've dated ex-pro athletes.
Look at you.
You know. So.
And your resume.
Yeah, I do have a resume on that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a groupie. We've had
discussions
that I'm not a groupie. I don't go hanging out of these places. I mean, even with my dude that I'm with, I didn't meet him at an industry function. You know, we met like regular folks.
Yeah.
So. And I've had discussions with people. I say, why is it I'm always with somebody who's like, you know, I always get with the rapper or the pro athlete or something. And where did my daughter come? Because I said, I'm not a groupie. I was like, I don't hang around this shit. She's like, but, you know, I've dated a couple of people in the music industry. So, I know how it goes. And my daughter just looks at me. She's like, that's because you the bitch that nobody would think about. She's like, come on, you the toy lady. She's like, you already have your own established ways, so people don't expect you. So when they meet you as regular old you, they kind of, you know, see, you know, you. Because I don't walk around with titties and ass out. I walk around, you know, I tell people, a lot of people see me.
At the beginning.
I still don't walk around with titties and ass out. I really don't. Yeah, on a regular basis.
I know, messing with you.
You know, but I think because I go to these games and, you know, I'm, as they say, I'm regular people. Now, mm-hmm. when I'm chatting in different chat rooms and stuff or something, I've had people send me messages saying they think they've seen me, you know. And I've got a fan base here in Michigan. And
of course.
I've had people tell me, you know, oh, Miss V, we thought we saw you, and you know, they'll say they thought they saw me at the casino or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, not really. You know, I was hanging out here, and I mean, they're talking locations that it's possible I would be at. So I know that people will see me, but I look so regular,
you
know.
And yeah, you don't stand out, really, you're saying. You don't really stand out. That's what you're saying.
I blend in with everybody else. I've had people walk up to me and say, hi, aren't you so-and-so? And I'd be like, mm-mm. So with me being so regular that when I do go out and people see me and they'd be like, damn.
We got to find out who this imposter is that's imitating you. They think they see you. I'd like to know what they look like to think that that's you.
You know what? I would, too, because it's so funny.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I literally, I agree with you because I've been on Facebook where people have said, we saw you at such place. I'm like, where is that? You know, because they use like acronyms like Motor City Casino. I forget what the acronym they did, but you know, we've got three casinos here in the city of Detroit. But I've had fans when I've been on Facebook, especially when I used to chat on Facebook a lot, saying, I thought I saw you such a place. And I'd be like, what's that? And they say, oh, Motor City Casino. And I'd be like, no, I was out and about on that day, but I wasn't nowhere near there because I don't do the casinos. You know, now, and they know, you know, I don't tell people where I hang out, but anybody who knows me know that I really don't hang in the city, even though I live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I do most of my hanging in the burbs, and I wouldn't even say I hang. Unless your ass see me near shopping, you know.
Shopping. That could be anywhere.
Shopping or a fucking grocery store. The odds are you ain't seen me out.
Yeah.
Real.
Like, nah, that wasn't me.
You know, and at the time they said they were seeing me was when I was before I had gotten into my car accident. So they'd be like, I think, you know, I had to think. I'd be like, oh shit, I think I ran 12 miles that day. I don't think you saw me. You know, unless it was later on in the day, because you know, when I was doing them 10 and 12 mile runs on Saturdays.
Oh yeah.
You might not. Yeah, this was before the accident that you wouldn't. You know, people really didn't see me unless they were out where I was running at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking this. It takes me 2.5-3 hours to do these runs,
mm-hmm.
which meant I was still being done before noon. But, you know, still, I wasn't going no place funky and sweaty. I was normally hitting the gym after that, you know. So unless they were hanging at my gym, and no, I don't tell you, you guys will not know what gym I'm a member of.
Nobody does.
No, I have had a couple of fans see me at gym. That was funny. Here, and I've had them tell me after the fact. I've gotten like a message. I thought I saw somebody who looked like you at this too. I'd be like, yeah, on what day? And they tell me. I'd be like, yeah, that was me, you know. And they kind of be like, wow, I should have said something. No, you shouldn't have, because I would have looked at you like you was fucking crazy. You know, if I'm on a damn treadmill, or if I'm in a spin class, or if I'm lifting weights, I thought you don't want to come have a conversation with me. Or if I'm with one of the trainers, because odds are I'm going to drop a fucking dumbbell on you, or I'm going to look at you like you're crazy. If I'm at the gym, do I really look like I want to have a conversation about being Ms. V? I'm not Coco. I don't know how to work out and look good. You know, I'm not Coco. That bitch got the damn, she looks good whenever. I'm not Coco. You won't see me in a pair of heels with a damn, you know, weights and doing it. I'm not her.
And ass implants and.
You know what? I think her ass is real.
You think her ass is real?
I think her ass is real.
Well, don't matter to me as long as it feels good.
I think it's real. You know, I think it's real because when you look at pictures from back in the day, she's always had ass.
Okay.
You know, and when you hear like they did a documentary on them. And they talk about one of the things that attracted him to her was her ass. You know, she's not stupid. This woman has a college degree. She's one of the most intelligent women out there. That's why they're making so much money, because she has a college degree. Mm-hmm. You know, which a lot of people don't know. They think that, oh, she's just Coco. No,
like she's a dumb blonde or something.
That bitch is not dumb at all. Not at all. She's a damn excellent businesswoman. I forget what her degree is in, but she's not the dumb one. So, you know, she might, and she doesn't, if you ever look at it, she doesn't portray being dumb either.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the things that she does, I mean, I commend her? I want to be like that bitch when I grow up.
That's cool, you know. Hey, trust me, you know, I would fuck her in 2 seconds.
And she was not a video girl. You know, that's another thing. She's not a video girl turned wife. You know, like I said, they talk about how they met. But back to my sports. You know, I got to talk about this boxing because I got so fucking thrown all tonight.
Yeah.
The Pascal Aiden fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy with that fight. You know, I think that was one of the best fights. I watched all of them. That's the one that really stood out to me. And, you know, what'd you think about that knockout? That was a hell of a knockout, because, you know.
You're talking about the Aiden fight you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks, too, because I ruined for him because he came out with Tupac, I Get Around. I don't know if you saw that. That's me, that thing.
I was like, you know, but he was a long shot. You know, he wasn't out there to win, and it was Pascal's fight to lose, which he did not, you know, but Aiden was doing some dirty shit during that fight. And when he got his ass knocked out, you know, it caught me, but I was like, damn, motherfucker, you could have won one more round.
Yeah, he was kind of a little bit scary when he got knocked down. You could tell he didn't know where the fuck he was. His eyes were all over the place, glazed over and shit. And the referee made sure, okay, this shit's over. He made sure he covered his ass like he was going to get shot or something. Like, no, this is over. Yeah, oh, shit, the motherfucker was down for a while, you know. But
yeah, I mean, it took them a minute to get him up, but, you know.
Yeah.
But he got that point taken away from him. He should have, you know what? I knew in the fucking 10th round when they took that damn point away from him, or was it ninth round? Whichever round. But,
yeah,
you know,
it was towards the end.
Warned, he had been warned about hitting behind the head, and that was one of the complaints that they went into the fight with about Pascal with the rabbit punches.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with Aiden with the rabbit punches. That was a complaint that they had. And he got warned during the fight, and when he did it, he had the point taken away, and it was like Parcell was like, you know what, motherfucker, you gonna do this? You gonna sucker punch me behind the fucking head? He came back out like, you know, he came back out like that motherfucker had fucked his wife and his mother. Come on now, you know, it ain't like you just fucked his wife and was bragging about it. You done fucked his mama and his wife. He beating your ass, and I was like, damn, you know.
You know what kind of sucked is that, you know, I always watch, because, you know, I don't watch boxing like I used to, so I always watch when they do the little intros on them, you know, those little videoettes on them.
Mm-hmm.
And homeboy, you know, that got knocked out, Aiden, you know, he was saying, oh, I'm dedicating this match to the what was the earth, was the Turkey, the earthquake in Turkey? Victims?
The miners in Turkey who
That's what it was, yeah. And then I was like, when I saw him getting his ass kicked, I was like, ah, man, this sucks. I felt even worse for him. I felt so bad for him. I was like, damn. You know? To me, that's a lot of burden, you know, to put on yourself that you really are super confident you're going to win this fight. Because, you know, that's, I mean, you know, that's cool that you say that. Don't get me wrong. Just that.
But he brought the ass kicking on himself. You know, at the end of the day, he brought that ass kicking on himself because he has a history of fucking rabbit punching, and he did it.
Really?
And,
okay.
You know, that was one of the things. But in the boxers meeting, you know, when they were talking in the dressing rooms, that they told the ref to watch out for, because that's what he's known for, especially when he gets in a bind. You know, he does the rabbit punching. But then Pastel also was warned because he was feeling, you know, holding his damn arm out there, basically feeling, you know, you can't do that. You can't sit there and, you know, basically be feeling your damn opponent out with your arm out, you know, so you're keeping him away with one arm out. Then you coming around, that's not allowed either. So both of them had things against them, but at the end of it, the rabbit punching to me is way worse because how can somebody come at you when you're holding them and then hitting them behind their fucking head? That's bullshit.
Yeah,
that's
illegal, by the way.
You know, it's fucking a bad injury because you don't – this is not the fucking MME – what is it?
MMA. Yeah, MMA.
MMA. You know
what? I know what you meant, though.
But it's not the MMA.
Oh.
You know.
That makes martial arts.
And when you are doing stuff like – and I don't know the rules of the MMA, so somebody who wants to say, Ms. Vitas, let's get that clear, I don't watch MMA – I just know that they're not using gloves, and I know they're barefoot, so let's get that clear.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to compare them, but I'm just saying in my thoughts, because I don't watch it, that I'm thinking in an MMA, you know, the rabbit punching would be allowed. So that's all I'm saying, because MMA is more street brawling versus boxing where you're doing a little bit more protective.
Yeah, it's all about science of, you know, when you punch and when you're not. You know, it's a little, it's skill, you know, a little more technical.
You know, so for anybody who says, I'm comparing to MMA, y'all ain't got to worry. The only thing I know about the MMA is my exercise game. And I get my ass beat in that, so.
I shrug this shit.
I get my ass beat. So.
Well, I didn't like this sport anyway. Fuck this game.
You know, I play Fighters Uncaged, and I get my ass beat. You know,
give me Street Fighter. Fuck this. Oh, you can.
Yeah. You know, so let's get that clear. Ms. V is not claiming she know a damn thing about MMA, so if you call us with some MMA questions, James may be able to answer you, but I can't answer shit up and say, okay.
Hell no. I'm worse with that than boxing. Please. Hell no. But that fight... You know, that first fight was good, but that next fight, oh, wow. That next one, that was a good one.
It was some really good fights on Saturday. You know, I didn't write them all down, and you know what? I even went back and rewatched them. And normally, I was talking mad shit because we were, you know, anybody who was watching the tweets on Saturday night, I was talking mad shit. I was like, yeah, this is really me tweeting because it was crazy. Because
I saw that, yeah.
There was so much boxing going on. And I couldn't keep up with all of the damn fights on Saturday. On top of me watching watching the horse racing, which I wanted to watch. I watched the Preakness. Then there was boxing on NBC.
Yeah,
and then HBO had boxing.
Yeah,
and I think Showtime had, and I've come to realize, Showtime has more boxing than HBO. And I didn't know that.
I think you're right about that.
Showtime has boxing all throughout the week, and I can't tell what's fucking live or recorded. So I'm just like, now, okay, no mas. I can't even keep up. You know, I thought
no
that,
mas.
You know,
well, you're Bro Duran.
No mas.
Well, I'm back
it.
In the day with Sugar Ray Leonard and Bro Duran. When boxing was boxing. Oh, my God, I miss those days. What great, great middleweights, heavyweights.
Well, you know what? I missed the boxing where you actually had, I mean, it's
15
so
rounds
much
in championship matches, you know, back in the day.
Well, the whole thing is that you don't have, me and you've had this discussion before, we don't have any true boxers out there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we you know, we're just now starting to get some heavyweight contenders out there that are possibly noteworthy. You know, Hopkins is not even a heavyweight. You know, was he a welterweight or a middle? You know, what is it right below heavyweight? Because he's not a heavyweight.
Under middleweight, is it middle? Is it welter? Well, you said welter
that's
is higher than middleweight?
I'm not sure. I had to go back and
check. I don't know, to tell you the truth.
But Hopkins is the only one close to being up there. And then now we do have a couple of good heavyweights out there. And I'm not going to quote names, you guys, because I would have to go look up my information. But it's starting to come around. But I think more so when people like me start talking about boxing, I think that when you get people like myself and you who are saying, hey, we really do watch boxing, it really is a sport to watch, you get around. But it's, the money isn't out there in boxing like it used to be. I mean, it used to be, shit, Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember watching Walter Cosell talk
about sports. Howell Cosell. Yeah,
Howell Cosell.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they used to show back in the day. I don't mean to interrupt you. I remember back in the day, every Saturday afternoon, Wild World Sports, and Muhammad Ali was almost every week on there.
Yep.
And then, and Channel 2, you know, that was CBS out here in New York, they would show boxing more lightweight, but it was good lightweights, you know. All those divisions back then were freaking awesome. If for some reason you had at least four or five boxes in each like weight division that actually were good and actually had personalities, you know, it was interesting characters too. But besides of them being great fighters, so all that, and it was just a different time. It was a different time. It seems like another lifetime when I think about it. But I remember watching that, you know, as a kid.
Well, you know what, I remember that, you know, for one, watching sports was something that, you know, I'm going to be, what is it, sexist when I say this? You had the women in the kitchen.
Yes.
And the men were watching sports. And it wasn't anything, you know, unless you came from a household where you had a lot of sports. You had the women who really weren't watching sports, and you had the men who did do the sports. And that's how we did it, and that's how our lives went. Therefore, when you're talking about nowadays, you don't even have young people getting into sports unless they were raised with sports.
Exactly. You know why that is, unfortunately? Because they didn't go out and play like we did. We always went outside and played every freaking day. You know?
I mean, shit, we've talked about it that, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I know how to climb a fucking tree.
That's right. Ms. V knows how to climb a tree.
Know how to climb a tree. I mean,
with heels.
I wasn't doing it with heels. Let's get that clear.
Just joking. Yeah. But yeah, we used to always play tag, you know, freaking freeze tag, stoop ball, you name it, suicide. Now, when I say suicide, you people say, what the hell are you talking about? No, we didn't play Russian roulette.
Are. Suicides are running back and forth. I mean, that's why, you know.
Before people get thinking, what the fuck your kids were doing?
No, suicides, I mean, if you, first of all, look at how many fat children there are now.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have time. You didn't, I mean, there's always been fat children out there, you guys. But those who are fat normally had a problem or they had.
Yeah, back in the day. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Either it was genetic or it was just, like a disorder or something. You know,
or you just had, you know, some people were just naturally fat, but
yeah,
now,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
But shit, now
get it.
But see, when we were growing up, I mean, I was one of those round children.
Mm-hmm.
But as they say, I was that ugly duckling. I think most girls, when I was growing up, you had ugly ducklings until what, high school, and then all of a sudden, bitches became attractive. Because all the bitches who were round, myself included, you know, and when I say round, I mean, we were a little chubby, and then it was like, boom, hit high school. It's like the summer in between 8th high school. Mm. Bitches got good looking.
You blossom.
They got slim and everything. You know, I'll never forget that my 8th grade year, I was really heavy set.
Okay.
And high school weight started coming off, and I really slimmed down right before I graduated from high school.
Really?
You know, and I've always been short, but I was one of those chubby kids, you know, and I've always played sports. But I was just one of those who the weight was on me. And as they say, I lost that baby weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went from baby chicks. Well, I've had boobies since I was nine.
Holy shit, are you serious?
Yeah, I've had boobies since I was nine, but that was about the only, you know, I'll say I've been a brick house for a while. So, but I became, well, me being a brick house, but I was round. So even though I had boobies, they really, I mean, they stood out, but I was a heavy set girl, so it was like heavy set everything, you know, big breasts, big everything. And then when I got to high school, I kept my breast, but it was like, boom, what happened to the bitch who was fat, you know? And, you know,
who killed that bitch?
And like I said, when I graduated from high school, I think I was wearing a size 5, which for those of y'all who say size 5, well, considering that when I started high school, I was wearing a 7-8, which was considered fat back then. You know, now I would love to fit my bitch ass into a 7-8. But when I graduated, I was wearing a size 5, and I had really slimmed down. And I wasn't running or anything. I wasn't a big-time athlete. I did play softball, so let's get that clear. I was in the sports. But at the end of the day, you know, I think I turned out pretty good. I mean, I got pictures. You know, bitch didn't look bad. But when you look at children nowadays, you're right, they're not working out. And I think when we talk about, I think more children should be able to talk about sports. You know, I've got a 23-year-old daughter, and we talk about sports. But if I think if I try to talk about sports with a 15-year-old boy, he would probably look at me like I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents are not raising their children to play sports, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wonder why you've got these pro athletes out there. I think my daughter will probably be one of those people whenever she goes back to school and quit wasting my money. She would probably be one of those people who may will end up with a pro athlete, not because that's who she's looking for, but because she is in the sports. So she would be able to call a person out. She does attend football games and baseball games and all that. So she would probably be the chick who they would talk to because she is an athlete herself, you know, and she's not a groupie.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these girls out there, you know, they don't know how to talk to a man. You know, they don't know, you know, I was raised that the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. But if you can't get to it through his stomach, at least know something about sports so you can have a conversation.
Exactly.
So.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy, I should know.
And I tell people, you know, in my opinion, I think that I talk pretty good because I do know sports and I do know how to cook. And
may I say, and this is the truth, not because I'm your co-host, I swear to God, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
You do. Like the way you talk, yeah, I love the way you talk because you have confidence. You know, you say what's on your mind. Seriously, I'm not just saying that. Even if I was just a caller on the show or whatever, or if I just met you, I always said that in my mind. I said, hey, you know, she got that real nice, sexy voice, especially when she's, like, pissed off or, like are really going to say a point. Like, you know, when you, like, you know, listen, and you say, you know, and you're real slow at first, like you're starting up your engine. And then you get going. I say, yeah. That's why I stay quiet. Not that I'm doing nothing. I don't want to make you. I sit and listen. I go, yeah, that's right. I say, yeah. See, I'm so lucky to be a co-host with you.
And you know what? I thank you because a lot of people say that about me, and I'd be like, I'm just being me.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's that's the cherry on top of the sundae. You're being yourself. There's no phoniness.
Because, you know, I've been on Sirius Radio, and I've had, before I got the radio show, I was on Radio Sex.
Okay.
I was on Naomi's show, but I was also on the show with Amber Lynn and them.
Yeah.
When they met me, they were like, oh, my God, your voice is so sexy. And they didn't know I was launching my radio show like a couple of months later. And it was so funny because everybody was like, so many people were asking me when was I getting my own radio show. And I'm like, I ain't trying to do fucking radio. I sell toys. You know, I already deal with the music industry and that shit. You know, I don't need to have my ass on the radio. That's one more fucking thing I don't need on my agenda. You know,
That's funny. And look what happened. Look where you're at right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm happy because, you know, I do have a bigger fan base because of that. You know,
oh, yeah, no doubt. Just like when you told that story, when you went to the Exotica.
I had no clue.
Yeah. I mean, that must have blown your fucking mind, like you said. And it's like, wow, the power. I'm telling you, the power. I'm not just saying this because I'm doing this besides this show and my own shows and shit like that. The power of radio is unbelievable. It's more powerful than it is TV because you have instant response. You know, it's not like a TV show where, okay, you watch an episode, whether it's reality TV, whatever, you don't really, you know, get to interact with the people on TV like that, unlike radio where you can automatically call, you can interact with us, this, that, and the third. And we, you know, most radio hosts express themselves. Not all of them, but I know I do.
And then you get a person like me who's doing public appearances. You know, and I'm not even doing appearances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
out there, so... You know, I tell everybody, I think the beauty that, you know, and for those y'all who know that I know I deal with the adult industry, I'm part of the adult industry,
mm-hmm.
but I like the fact that I was behind the scenes so long in the adult industry that, you know, people didn't know who I was. And then when I start coming out, because some people told me, they was like, you can sell more toys if you come out. Still haven't sold fucking more toys, but that'll change this year. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you look at, people see me and then they're like, damn. And they find out, you know, I am a mom. I'm a regular person. I'm a mom. I'm a fiance. You know, I like to spend money, you know.
Yeah.
And I have done my share in front of the work, camera work, you know. So let's get that clear, everybody. You know, and y'all say, I don't understand the industry. I understand it very well. I was truly the person who danced in the bar to raise my children. I have no shame behind that. Being a topless dancer afforded me a lot of things that I probably would not have afforded because I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that I didn't make a career. I used it for what I needed it for, which was to help me get back on my feet, to help me go back through school, and to make sure my son and daughter had the things they needed. And then I have so many different careers. I truly am a fucking, I guess you would call me a Jamaican. We joke about Jamaicans, about their number of jobs, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
truly a real parent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a parent who I worked while my children was in school. I hold a cosmetology license. I hold a real estate license. I hold a college degree. I hold all this, but I still keep it going, you know, so when you guys hear that, like tonight I overslept, I've got 5 million fucking jobs, you know.
Yeah. Give me a break.
I would love to say all I do is the radio and the toys, but I have 5 million fucking jobs. So I'm running, I'm ripping. And then, you know, my personal life is not there as much as other people's, but a lot of people know that I'm in transition, that we're getting ready to move into a new home. So
mm-hmm.
on top of this, I'm dealing with my own realtors, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're dealing with moving, and we've got to do all this. In the midst of preparing for the Chicago show, we've got a surprise coming up in Chicago, so I'm dealing with people in other countries. So when you're talking about people being 10 and 12 hours ahead of you and having conversations at 1 and 2 in the morning because they are ahead of you in time zones, when you're talking about, again, keeping up with a fiance who's in the music industry, which means that keeping up with his schedule, keeping up with my schedule, keeping up when people are asking me to do interviews, keeping up with the behind-the-scenes stuff, keeping up with, we got to check booth space, we got to check this, we got to check that. When you look at everything that I do and what other people do, and they say with radio, I know so many people on radio that, you know, I'll give the example of Naomi. Naomi is a fucking hustler.
Hell
you
yeah.
know, if people knew a third of what I knew, they'd be like, damn. You know? So... And that's my girl, you know. So when people hear Naomi, I know you guys will see a lot of times, oh, James is tweeting her girl Naomi. Well, we don't. We look at it because, you know, at the end of the day, we know who each other are, you know. And it's one of those things, you know. So we are hustlers. I mean, she's one of the reasons why I'm doing some of the things I'm doing, because she was like, you know, you should do this and you should do that. And I'm like, whatever, you know.
people, I know you've mentioned it before, but maybe a lot of people forget that she was the one that told you, hey, maybe you should do this radio thing. You know,
yeah,
she
you
brought
know.
It up to you, and you were like, oh, okay, we'll see. You know, you did research,
you know,
whatever.
When I told her I was thinking about doing it, and I do a lot of research. I mean, I didn't jump into anything blindly.
Exactly.
You know, so for anybody who says, oh, I did, before I came on the radio last year, it was a long thought process. It was a very long thought process. It wasn't something I took lightly. So, and you guys have to remember, I also have investors who work with me. So whenever I make a decision, I just can't make it.
Yeah, exactly. You have other people involved.
I have people who will never be in behind a mic or anything who...
No.
They pull, as they say, my purse strings. I have people who I have to go to, so it's really kind of different, you know, and I have to consult with them, you know.
Of course.
If I want the show to go on another year, I have to consult with them. If I want to do a new toy line, that's why I wasn't able to do Atlantic City, because I was told no. You know, I don't like no, but I was told no. But with the radio show, and I said I wanted to do 2 days a week, that was a no-brainer for them because we already pay for the airtime. So when I, you know, I'll probably bite the bullet this week because of me fucking oversleeping.
Well, it happens. You know, it's not like this happens all the time. It happens to the best of us. Yeah. You know. So
you know,
don't worry about it.
They'll be like, bitch, that's why we told you not to have $5 million jobs.
You know, this is, you know, first time, long time. So, you know, close a few other times, but, hey.
And I wasn't sick, you know.
No.
Other times the show has not gone on because I've been sick, but it was just like, fucking them damn tigers, pussies, you know. I'm blaming this on the tigers. I'm serious. I'm blaming this on the tiger, you guys.
Drain all the energy out of you. Took away all your driven, you know, all your motivation.
They drained the fuck out of me. You know, 2 days, you know, they got...
They're in first place, relax. They're going to have a division in the bag. Trust me.
Listen.
They're fine.
They fucking drained me.
Listen to me. I predicted, now that's because I say so, I predicted them to win the World Series this year, okay?
A lot of people are predicting that, and you know what? But you know what? When you are the fan sitting here, see, when somebody's from outside,
I know. No, you're right.
They say that,
you're
that fan, it's just like when...
It's true.
Some, you know, it would be like me saying the Yankees are going all the way, and you could, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be cynical. I'd be like, no, be quiet, no, it's not going to be easy.
You know.
True, you're right.
But, and then when you dealing with middle-of-the-day games, you know, it's hard, you know. And we're actually going to a Tigers game. I got a friend who has season tickets.
Nice.
And they're not using all of their tickets. So for those of y'all who listen and y'all know who Tata Beauty is, you can follow her at Tata Beauty, TATTIEDBEAUTTI or something like that. But
Dean, can you tweet that to me, please?
Follow her. She doesn't tweet a whole lot, but that's me. That's mini me. True mini me.
Wow,
She'll be in Chicago with me. Yeah,
wow.
If you look at the pictures, you'll see we are truly two and the same. But we'll be going to a Tigers game this summer. Because
you don't know what's that date yet, then, right?
We don't know what date. We know we're going to an August game because I talked to my friend who has tickets, and I'm going to buy their tickets for that particular game.
Okay.
And we're going. But, you know, we're in the process because we are a sports family. We're waiting on Lions tickets to go on sale. You know, we're trying to get 4 tickets to the Lions game on Thanksgiving Day.
You're trying to get opening night. Isn't that the game, that first game against my Giants, a night game?
We're not trying to go. We're not opening. You know, because we do Thanksgiving Day and it's always played here.
Yeah, tradition, long tradition for a long time.
The Thanksgiving Day game.
It's like the 40s and shit, you know.
We are, we've made it a point that if everything goes well, we are anticipating being at that game this year. Even my mother wants to go, so.
Look at that.
We're trying to make it a family affair.
That sounds awesome.
I told you we're a sports family, so... we normally do the Thanksgiving Day parade and then go to the game, because you guys know we're runners. We're here in Detroit. They have a five and a ten K run that actually runs the entire parade route.
And you better be in shape when you're in Detroit.
It actually happens before the parade. No, actually, for that you don't have to. You know, we're not gonna go with the killer jokes for that. You know, but I understand what people would think. But actually, the turkey trot has been going on. They call it the turkey trot. It's a run, and every year we've done it. This year we're not gonna do it. This past year it was so icy out there, and me and my daughter are both runners. And when you talk about, I fell on my ass. We walked. We only did the 5K, and we were walking.
Wow.
Now, we weren't trying to look cute or nothing. True enough, I did pass out pens because I make everything a business thing. We were passing out V's after darking pens. But
cool.
We were walking, and I kid you not, walking, I fell flat on my ass walking because that's how bad it was on Thanksgiving Day. Icy. And I fell down, and I kid you not, for anybody, if anybody is a fan and they heard me out there, I fell down. I looked around because I came down hard.
Ooh.
And since I am a runner and I know about falling and I know how to prepare myself, I kind of cushioned myself. I felt myself, so I kind of positioned myself where I came down on my butt first, but then I laid down. So it looked like I hit the ground really hard. I did hit it hard. But people came and they was like, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm okay. My pride is hurting." I was like, "It's a good thing I got a fat ass." And then I turned around.
Pushing your fall.
This was a trip. But see, this is a family event. And this is the parade route. So people were out there ready, cheering for the parade and everything. And I turned around. I was like, "Oh, my God. I hope no children hurt me." And everybody just started laughing. They was like, "It's okay." You know, they started laughing with me. But I wanted to put a little bit of humor into it because I did fall hard. And I wanted them to know that I was okay. But I came down hard and I was walking. So we want to do the game afterwards. When I say that this is what we've been doing for years, me and my daughter, my mom normally watch and cheer us. So going to the football game would just be icing on the cake for us because this has been a family tradition. Me and my mother started this when I was little. When we first moved to Detroit, we used to go always watch the Thanksgiving Day parade. And when I went to the military, the Detroit Thanksgiving Day Parade was broadcast overseas. So I was sitting in front of the TV on Thanksgiving Day crying my fucking eyes out. I could be home. I'm watching that parade. When you're in Japan watching the Thanksgiving Day Parade from your home and you're living in California.
Oh, that must have been depressing. Oh.
It's hard.
Yo, you know what? I don't mean to cut you off. I know exactly what you're talking about. I was New Year's Eve. I was in France. I forgot. I was south of France. I forgot the actual. Trust me, I wasn't near Paris, unfortunately. And I was like at the bottom, all the way to the bottom of France, like that lower part. I forgot the actual place, but it was New Year's Eve, and it was 92. Yeah, it was going on to 1993. I got my ass drunk, and when that shit hit midnight, because that over there it gets midnight before over here in the East Coast, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And when that happened, I was like, I mean, I wasn't like to myself, like no one saw me and shit, but to myself.
But it's now, those feelings being someplace when you're not home and
the worst, especially the holidays. Oh my God, it sucks.
And so you're from NYC, so you know that damn ball is showed all over the world.
The world, yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
And
you know,
the Detroit Thanksgiving Day Parade is shown all over the world. I found that out when I went overseas in the 80s, you know, and I lived in California, you know. So when you're talking about being in Japan and you're watching the Detroit Parade and you're in California and you're watching the parade and you're in Florida, you know, you're like, what the fuck? I didn't know, you know. They talk so bad about Detroit, but yet and still, our parade along with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade are the two parades
that
are shown
in New York City. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But those parades are shown all over the world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And y'all can say what the fuck y'all want about Detroit, but even when we were the fucking murder capital of the world, you motherfuckers were still watching our parade. So we can't be that damn bad. Because if you want to see the white people who you can't normally find, come out on Thanksgiving Day. Them motherfuckers are more in Detroit.
Like, I don't want to sound like what they call us New Yorkers very arrogant, but I really didn't know y'all had a parade until you just said so.
No, but you know what? It's shown all over. You know,
I really didn't know. Seriously, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I just really didn't know.
Oh, no, I don't. You know what? I thought that only we knew about our parade, and like I said, until I when I went to Japan,
mm-hmm.
it was showed on.
Wow.
Naturally, you know, we're limited to Air Force's TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the Detroit parade was shown there. And that's when I sat there. I was like, I don't live in that bad of a city. And then when I lived in California, when I lived in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
what am I watching? The Thanksgiving Day parade. So I was like, you know what? I said, you motherfuckers can't say shit. You know, that's why I have this little arrogant attitude because regardless of what's said, I know that the fucking armed forces all over the world is watching the Thanksgiving Day parade,
mm-hmm.
you know. I know that if you live in another city and you don't go out and you're watching, and I'm going to assume, I can't say for sure because it's been so long since I watched the parade from another city,
mm-hmm.
but I'm pretty sure that it's watched on NBC.
Yes.
Because that's the same.
The Mace parade is always on NBC every year, every year.
You
yes.
know, so, and I know that the Macy's parade, for us, the Macy's parade is watched after us.
I see. Gotcha.
But you guys' parade is much bigger than ours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I used to always, that used to be my duty to watch that as a kid. I used to get up crack of dawn and watch that shit. I haven't done that in years. But
and see, we actually sit out there. I mean, we vie for spots. This year would be the first year that we actually did not watch the parade at the parade. Grant,
wow.
You know,
yeah, I never went to a Macy's parade. I never done that, but I always used to, when I was younger, always got up real early to watch it. I didn't want to miss it. You know, what new float going to be this year? What new balloon, you know?
Well, we've always ran the parade, and that's the whole thing. Me,
yeah,
well,
wow.
Always, for the past
so
it
even
years.
Was more sentimental for you. Like, we could have been us there right now.
Well, you know what? I think because when we moved here, me and my mom, that was the one thing. I've been to the, for those of you who don't know, my parents traveled. You know, I'm a 60s baby, so I had a mom and a dad who didn't know how to live, no place for no amount of time. I don't know how the hell we settled down in Detroit because I thought we were going to always be drifters. But I've lived in Philly. So when we lived in Philly, Philly has a Puerto Rican area. So, you know, we ain't never just lived in a nice area. We always got to live in the hood. So I didn't know how bad Puerto Rican. You know what? I didn't know what Puerto Ricans were. I thought they were just fucking black people with strong-ass accents. I didn't realize that.
Well, like I said, we have it in our background. If you know history of Puerto Rico, there is black in the background in our ancestry. So,
so when we lived in Philly, we lived in an all-Puerto Rican neighborhood.
Cool.
And we, my mom, me and my mom, we went and watched a parade there because Philly has a parade. Well, I don't know if they still but back in the 70s,
yeah,
Philly's
a tough town, boy. That's no bullshit. That's a tough town, yo.
So with us living in Philly, you know, I tell people, I've lived enough places in this country, so when I see things or I hear things, I'm like, yeah, really? You know, I've lived in Philly. I've been to D.C., and this was before I went to the military. You know, we're talking four or five years old. We were living in Philly, D.C. You know, I've pretty much done the West, the East Coast as far as living. West Coast, I didn't start doing it until I became an adult. So tell everybody, you know, it doesn't, you know, I think that's why it doesn't shock me, you know, when people say, oh, this person be like, shit, you know, okay. I had an aunt who lived in Louisiana and people thought she was Creole. She lived right there in New Orleans.
Cool.
So they thought she was Creole. She just a high yellow black bitch. You know, ooh,
gotcha.
God rest her soul. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say it. High yellow black woman. But, you know, but people thought she was Creole. And, you know, I've lived in Philly and, you know, I've been right there with the Puerto Ricans. Like I said, I really didn't know there was a difference.
Yes. You sound just like, you know what's funny? Before we get cut off, because we only got like 3 minutes left, because I know we're going to get cut off automatically at 10:30. Naomi thought the same thing. Naomi Banks, she thought like all of us Spanish people were like the same. She learned a lesson like a couple weekends ago.
Oh, wow.
I actually called in the show to explain to her, because you remember Cinco de Mayo not too long ago?
Yeah.
Celebrate that shit. All Spanish people go, no.
Mm-mm.
No, that's a Mexican thing. But in my opinion, for me, if someone invited me to a place for Cinco de Mayo, as long as there's alcohol, shit, I'm there.
Now, you know what? I do go to the Cinco de Mayo celebrations. You know, we have a very big Hispanic community here. But Hispanics and Puerto Ricans are two totally different, you know.
Yes, yes, Mexicans, you know, Ecuadorians, Argentinians, you know, Brazilians. Mm-hmm. You know, Brazil, well, those are freaky motherfuckers, boy. Ooh, I would love to go to Rio de Janeiro. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
So,
but anyway.
Yeah, I do know the difference, you know. But like I said, when you're growing up, you don't. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm speaking strictly from a child's point of view when they say, what do I know? Well, I wasn't raised with, you know, my aunt is white. You know, she's German. So I knew about white people and I knew they hated black people. That's what I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, and I knew about Asian people. But I did not know. You know, I figured anybody who had any color of their skin, they was black to me. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they didn't speak another language, I really thought
they
were black. We lived around the Puerto Ricans because they didn't look no different than me. You know, they had accent, but I'm like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And I knew from traveling with my parents that every